Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The High Court has given a six-month reprieve to over 900 families facing eviction from Manzou Farm near Mazoe to allegedly pave way for President Robert Mugabe's family.
The witnesses we spoke to said the farm would be taken over by the first family, that is President Mugabe and his wife, and that there are plans to convert it into a game park. It's the farm adjacent to Mazoe Dam.
Harare's vision to achieve world-class status is hampered by rampant corruption and political interference, Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni tells Parliament.
So the world-class city demands a minister who realizes his own space and operates within his space, a mayor who realizes his own space and operates within that space. The town clerk, everyone must occupy their own spaces and function in their spaces.
And ZANU-PF says MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai risks arrest for allegedly inciting an uprising at the weekend in Jombe.
The High Court has given a six-month reprieve to about 900 families at Manzou Farm near Mazoe who are being evicted to allegedly pave way for the first family, which, according to well-placed sources, wants to turn the farm into a wildlife sanctuary. The settlers had been given an ultimatum by the police to forget the farm by today, and yesterday's order came as a welcome relief. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights represented the settlers. The order was given against Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mahadi and Lands Minister Douglas Mombeshora. In the past weeks, armed riot police and officers of the Central Intelligence Organization were allegedly evicting and threatening the settlers. Some of those evicted were reportedly dumped in Rushinga and others along the Harare-Bindura Highway.
The settlers told Studio 7 that their homes were razed to the ground by police who were armed with shotguns, batons and dogs. The settlers said the police officers had denied them the opportunity to harvest their tobacco and maize crop and also refused to disclose who had sent them. They are now appealing for tents from well-wishers as they have no shelter. The first family already has vast projects in the Mazoe district, which include an orphanage, a state-of-the-art primary school, Gushungo Dairy Farm, and they recently appropriated a large chunk of Interfresh Mazoe citrus estates. Effort to get a comment from the First Lady spokesman Lawrence Kamwi or Mashonaland Central Governor Martin Dina were futile as their phones, went unanswered. Dina, though, has previously denied that the evictions are linked to the first family, arguing that the people settled themselves illegally in 2000. Human rights lawyer Dewama Vinga, a Human Rights Watch senior researcher who has been following the case, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the government must respect the order.
Manzou Farm, also known as Arnold Farm in Mazoe, 900 families were facing eviction. Their homesteads had been razed to the ground by armed riot police from last week, but now they've since sought an urgent High Court application to stop the evictions and to give them at least 6 months within which they can harvest their crops, green millets in the fields. And also, they have a provisional order directing that the Minister of Lands, before evicting them, should allocate them alternative land, issue them with offer letters, and then carry out a legal removal in terms of a court order.
But is this order being respected by the police?
The Zimbabwe Republic Police is one of the respondents expected to comply. We understand that today be one of the last days where the police had issued to say they would not want to see anyone within the premises of Manzou Farm, that anyone found there, despite that they have been farming on that land for the past 14 years, they will be regarded as trespassers. But we are waiting to see whether there will be full respect of this court order, which the police should and are directed to respect.
Who was the judge in the matter?
It was Justice Susan Mavangira.
Who is going to take over this farm, do you know?
The witnesses we spoke to said the farm would be taken over by the first family, that is President Mugabe and his wife, and that there are plans to convert it into a game park. It's the farm adjacent to Mazowe Dam. There is also information that we gathered that there is gold mining taking place within the farm as well. So these are the two activities that are likely to be taking place when the farmers there are evicted.
Human Rights Watch senior researcher Dewama Vinga speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Harare's vision to achieve world-class status by 2025 could be hampered, Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni told Parliament today, by unachievable status called under... Harare's vision is to achieve world-class status by 2025, but City Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni told Parliament today the vision is unachievable under the current conditions of rampant corruption and political interference in the operations of the council. Ivan Chipera has more details from the capital.
Speaking before Parliament's Local Government Committee, Mayor Manyenyeni and other councillors described Harare as a seat of chaos being run by an incompetent management team that has no respect for elected officials. He said political interference in Harare was a major cause for concern. For instance, Manyenyeni said he had suspended town clerk Tendai Mahach this February after he refused to furnish council with the salary schedules for top council managers, but he was reinstated by local government minister Ignatius Chombo under unclear circumstances. He said such interference and failure by the government to give elected councillors the opportunity to run the city makes it impossible for Harare to achieve world-class status.
So the world-class city demands a minister who realizes his own space and operates within his space, a mayor who realizes his own space and operates within that space, the town clerk, everyone must occupy their own spaces and function in their spaces. That's one way we can do it. Otherwise, if you have the minister who's a procurement officer and a personal officer, it won't work. If you have a mayor who's a personal officer, it also won't work. That's exactly where a world-class city should be.
He said service delivery is falling in many areas and most city managers, despite getting unrealistically high salaries, are not fit for the job.
Well, service delivery is suffering, so the leadership is questionable. Even the World Bank report, some of their remarks have said you also have a problem, Mayor, in terms of leadership. So I may, without even using my own words, quoting the remarks from the people from the World Bank, that the problem with Harare, particularly with water, has been an issue of leadership. So I may have answered the question relating to whether I think Dr. March is the right person. His experience is well-trained, but something is just not happening at the pace and quality that the city requires.
He said councillors have not been given a chance to address the issue of remuneration for council workers, adding the council has begun a restructuring exercise to reduce the number of workers, particularly managers whom he said are chewing up most of the city's income. Council rakes in about $14 million monthly in revenue, and more than half of it goes towards salaries, a situation the mayor said is untenable. Manyenyeni said his council is worried about serious leakages in council revenues, adding the local authority is due to convene a special meeting to address the issue. Business Committee Chairman Councillor Herbert Gomba said council is failing to collect revenue in places like Mbare Musika because ZANU-PF activists led by former ZANU-PF Harare Provincial Youth Chairman and council employee Jim Kunaka had taken control of the area's facilities.
Some of the leakages are political. You'd find some political people who are taking control of a council market that was giving council the critical resource to be able to deliver service. We have a case in point in Mbare where we are unable to take control of the Mbare Musika, precisely because Jim Kunaka is in charge. But there is revenue that we are supposed to get from the market there. So leakages are bound to happen in a city of chaos.
Manyenyeni and Gomba said council has resolved to deal with the issue and has tasked relevant officials in council to deal with Kunaka. Committee chairperson Irene Zindi also advised council to report Kunaka to the police, but lawmaker Joseph Chinotimba supported Kunaka and his colleagues, saying they were demonstrating against council's decisions to go into joint ventures with foreign companies at the expense of locals.
You want to contract a person from Zambia to do the lighting of solar, while our people know how to do the thing. If I am Jim Kunaka, you do the same thing to mobilize the people and say, no, are you not doing the same? To mobilize, to send Guyana land, South Africa, as they are doing, as you are now trying to do, the Zambian. If the Zimbabweans are clever, they will demonstrate.
Meanwhile, Manyenyeni said they are still investigating how the $144 million Chinese deal to upgrade the city's waterworks was awarded after World Bank and independent experts hinted that $100 million could have been looted as only $44 million was needed to upgrade the waterworks. The project would increase the city's water supply from 500 to 600 megaliters per day upon completion. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Zimbabwe says it is in the dark about South Africa's move to ask Zimbabweans with expiring permits to go back home for renewal or face deportation. South Africa's Home Affairs Minister Naledi Pandor was recently quoted saying Zimbabweans who were granted special permits to work or study in South Africa 2 years ago will have to go back home to renew them when they expire at the end of the year. Zimbabwe and South Africa held meetings culminating in the permits back then. But Zimbabwe's Home Affairs Minister Kembo Muhadi told the state-run Chronicle newspaper today that his South African counterpart had not reached out to him and he was getting the information from the media. Zimbabwean interest groups have tried to meet with Minister Pandor, who had agreed to brief them today to clear confusion brought about by South Africa's announcement. Asylum seekers who cannot go back home to renew their permits say they have not been told what they should do come October, just as those with business permits and other investments. Communications Director Daniel Muzenda of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association told Studio 7 Pando did not show up to clear the air as expected today.
We asked the Director General for Communications, Mr. Ronnie Mawape, about the way forward, but he did not give us the actual date of when we are going to have the meeting.
Now, is it still not clear as to what are the requirements and other information that you wanted?
What we wanted, it is now clear that they said those people who have got the special dispensation permits which were given, they are supposed to go and apply it in Harare. But we wanted to find out the methods they are going to use to go and get those permits from their embassy in Harare.
We understand that the officials in Zimbabwe, including the Minister of Home Affairs, are not aware of these new developments. What's your take on that?
We are also actually surprised by that stance, because when we tried to find out why the government of Zimbabwe was not aware, we only realized it later on that this was only a cabinet decision which was made by the cabinet itself, but it was not passed through the South African parliament, and there is, like what they are saying, there is no act on that one. So I think it was the decision which was just made by the South African government alone. So up to now, they haven't communicated with Harare.
We understand that there has been a lack of information from your members. Would you tell us how they can contact you?
Okay, Chris. The following our standing committee, the president of the association is Mr. Gift Shinogwenya, and the national chairman is Mr. Isaac Muzimba. And then I am the organizing secretary, that is Mr. Daniel Mzenda. The treasurer is Mrs. F. Mregi. And for the provincial coordinators, those who are coordinating in all the provinces, we've got Brian Tumbo, who is coordinating the Gauteng province. We have Bishop Mafunga, who is coordinating in the KwaZulu-Natal province. And then we have Walter Mzimbawake, who is coordinating in the Eastern Cape. And then we have Innocent Wenjere, who is coordinating Western Cape. And we have Mr. Tarewa, who coordinates in Limpopo province. And in Mpumalanga province, we have got Kudzai Chawawa.
Daniel Muzenda is the communications director of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association. He spoke to Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.
ZANU-PF says MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai risks being arrested for allegedly inciting an uprising following weekend statements in Jombe, Midlands North, where he urged Zimbabweans to be proactive in taking the government head-on as the economy continues to falter. Tsvangirai told party supporters the economy has worsened following last year's disputed elections, adding corruption is rampant in government, which is failing to pay civil servants on time. He said over 1 million poor children are out of school because ZANU-PF is allegedly looting funds meant for the basic education assistance module. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, while admitting that he was yet to read Tsvangirai's alleged statement, says if the opposition leader said what was reported in the media, then the law should take its course.
If that is true, that what he said to the people of Jombe to sort of encourage them or to push them to rise against the government, then he is mistaken. And if government takes action, if the police take action, there is no one who can defend him for doing that kind of thing. You don't rouse emotions to people just because you want to get their support. Why doesn't he himself challenge the government, not go out and raise emotion and urge people to have an uprising? We have said this issue of uprising, which MDC seems to be playing around with because of what happened in North Africa, it has to end. What the people of Zimbabwe want right now is peace, unity, and development. We want the stability in the country. We don't want any nonsense about the election. Elections are over. People have to prepare for 2018. The current government was put in power by over two-thirds majority, 61% for the president, and that's it. Let's forget about it. Let's get out of the mode of election and move on with developing our country.
ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo. In a statement issued by the MDCT in response to ZANU-PF's call for Mr. Tsvangirai's arrest, spokesman Douglas Monzora says the call by the ruling party is, quote, clearly displaying embarrassing ignorance of Zimbabwe's constitution on the part of ZANU-PF.
We have just heard that ZANU-PF is advocating that our president must be arrested for calling for demonstration against the government. We condemn that because the call for demonstrations is actually lawful. In terms of Section 59 of our Constitution, people have got the freedom to demonstrate and present petitions as long as the demonstrations are peaceful. So when President Tsvangirai was talking about demonstrations, he was talking about something that must be done, which is within the law. There are a lot of things that are going wrong in this country. Zimbabwe is going down the precipice. Zimbabwe is going down the drain. It is being run down, this economy, by an uncaring government. So these are things that call for Zimbabweans to demonstrate, to show their displeasure about what the government is doing. And that is perfectly, perfectly lawful.
What will happen in the event that Mr. Tsvangirai is arrested over his statements?
Well, there will be disorder for sure. There will be a protest by the MDC because we cannot accept a situation where ZANU-PF wants to circumvent the Constitution. The Constitution says it is lawful to demonstrate, and therefore it is lawful to call for demonstrations. What President Tsvangirai has not done is to call for armed conflict, but he has asked for demonstrations for the redress of lawful grievances. For example, the money is being stolen. Civil servants are being lied to that their money is coming when it is not coming. And they've been patient for a long time. And we are saying we must not just sit by and watch while our country is being run down the drain.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora in Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Non-governmental organizations are pressing on with calls for transparency in the distribution of aid meant for flood victims in Cholocho, Matabeleland North and Tokwe Mukosi in Maswingo, the regions mostly affected by recent floods. The aid, which is in the form of food, blankets, clothes, tents and cash, are from non-governmental organizations, individuals and the international community and are distributed mostly by the government. Reverend Edison Dube of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Zimbabwe, Cholocho Branch, which has donated to the flood victims in the area and works with the government to distribute the aid, explains to reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga how the distribution is carried out.
Us as a church, we want to see exactly the victim to get that help from the church. The sponsor, they want to see the signature of the victim. I personally, I'm going straight to the victim with the other stakeholders.
What has prompted you to do this? Are there any fears that the donations may not reach the intended beneficiaries?
Truly speaking, the donor, they want a signature from the beneficiary and the ID number from the beneficiary. Once you divert that food or that good to other side, the donor pulls away.
You have worked with people facing similar problems in Cholocho in the past years. Can you explain to us how these donations are handled?
All right, we sit down with the chairman of the district, DA's office. Then we go straight to the victims. We collect the names. We come back and sit down to see how to help those people with that donation. Exactly. We are not going all of the civil protection unit. We select some of the civil protection unit to go to the people to send that help from the donor or the organization.
That was Reverend Edison Dube of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Zimbabwe, Cholocho Branch.
And Chris, one of our very, very interesting stories today, Registrar General Tobaiwa Mdede is warning women in Zimbabwe to be wary of Asian and other foreign men. He says are using fake passports to gain entrance into the country as they seek residence permits. The statement, some analysts say, could be seen as being xenophobic. This is not, Chris, the first time that Mr. Mdede has warned Zimbabwean women against foreign men. In a newspaper notice from the Registrar General's office or department, which is responsible for recording births, deaths and marriages, it claims most of these Asian men want to use Zimbabwean women to gain citizenship in the country. Let me just read part of the statement. It says that the Registrar General wishes to inform the public that there are some foreigners, particularly Asians, who want to masquerade as Zimbabweans whilst holding fraudulently acquired Zimbabwean documents. We have been having problems with people from Bangladesh. Some of them contract marriages with our local women. Others even go as far as contracting customary marriage. The notice said, Mr. Mdede urged women to liaise with his office to, quote, thoroughly scrutinize all of the foreigners who are intending to marry Zimbabwean women. He continues to say these foreigners should have been cleared by the immigration department, the police and their embassies before entering into such marriages. It is a very interesting debate that we would want to discuss with you today for Live Talk. So please stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will discuss with you what do you think about this. The chiefs in the villages are also being warned. So we want to hear from you, the Zimbabwean women in particular, because these foreign men are said to be targeting you. Is it true? Are we not supposed to get married to people who we love, whether they're coming from any other country? And so many issues, Chris, to discuss. What do you think?
Yes, this is quite interesting, Sandy. And remember, for the listeners to join us, they can text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call them back from our studios.
And lastly, to a more serious issue, South Africa has made clear it intends to add several more nuclear power plants to its current energy mix. There are 21 other African countries thinking about pursuing nuclear power, with more than 600 million Africans off the energy grid. Nuclear power is being promoted as a clean and efficient answer. But as Peter Cox reports from Johannesburg, some activists worry about the cost, the environment, and potential security hazards.
Dominique Gilbert lives near the Pelindaba Nuclear Research Center. That is where, from the 1960s to the 1980s, the South African government developed atomic bombs before becoming the first country to ever voluntarily give up nuclear weapons. When she drives by the dam next to the facility, where uranium is still enriched, she sees men casting lines into the water and eating the fish they pull out.
People eating that fish haven't been stopped fishing there.
Gilbert is a founding member of the Coalition Against Nuclear Energy South Africa. She's worried that the South African government, facing a severe energy shortage, is rushing plans for more nuclear power without public awareness of the downside.
Unfortunately, there hasn't been that much information spread around the general public about the dangers of nuclear and certainly the costs of nuclear. So it's not just health, but we believe it will bankrupt this country. It's totally and utterly unaffordable.
South Africa currently has two nuclear reactors at its Coburg nuclear power station. The waste from those reactors is disposed at the Valpuz radioactive waste disposal facility. Gilbert says South Africa has done little to study the effects of nuclear energy on surrounding communities or to educate the public.
First of all is air releases, because people can't see radiation. They can't smell it. They can't touch it. But these particles are floating around all the time, and particularly during accidents. During routine operations, there are emissions all the time. Another aspect that worries us enormously is the river, because nuclear technologies and reactors and so forth are highly dependent on water. Pelindaba, for example, uses or releases what they term low-level radioactive waste by the thousands of liters into the Crocodile River.
While such concerns about radiation exposure have been around for decades globally, some experts believe that nuclear fuel actually poses fewer health risks than something like coal, on which South Africa is heavily dependent. Kelvin Kem is a nuclear physicist and chief executive of Nuclear Africa.
Of all the energy sources that there are, nuclear has shown itself to be the safest. And it's quite amazing how much of a public misperception there is about this, that there's been absolute scare tactics developed.
But the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan damaged its Fukushima nuclear plant, resulting in the meltdown of three of its six reactors. The country is still battling to contain radiation leaks, and the impact has been felt globally. Activists say there is good reason to be scared. Kem disagrees.
At Fukushima, they call it a nuclear disaster. It was not a nuclear disaster. Not one single person was killed at Fukushima by radiation. Not one single person was injured at Fukushima by radiation. Not one bit of private property was harmed by radiation at Fukushima. Nothing. There was a general disaster from the tsunami and the earthquake, but there was no nuclear problem as such.
Perhaps not yet, but here in South Africa, some residents and workers near nuclear facilities at Pelindaba and Valpuz say they have unexplained health problems they blame on radiation. Fenki Mofiwa is with the environmental group Off the Ground Foundation.
People around the area in Kuberg, they have illnesses which even the doctor cannot explain to them what kind of illnesses that they are having, because most of them, they always been into in and out the clinics. Around Valpuz, people who have lived there for quite a long time, since the dam site has been proposed, their kids, they no longer feel free to go barefooted. They have side effects, so it's a concern to this community.
He points to the devastating radiation impact that the 1986 Chernobyl meltdown had on residents in the then Soviet Union.
Our decision makers, they didn't consider and follow on other accidents which happens around the world. They just considered another way, a source of producing energy, but not checking, going back, the accident which happened, like in Chernobyl. There's no one who can go there and leave. The environment is no longer good for a human being.
But perhaps the biggest concern about a nuclear-powered African continent is a lack of stability and security, leaving nuclear facilities more vulnerable to attack or, as Gilbert worries, theft of nuclear materials for weapons.
There's a lot of conflict and political tension in Africa, a lot of increasing terrorist activity in particularly North and Central Africa, crime syndicates operating.
Knox Messam.
Thank you, Peter Cox. Interesting subject there. We'll have another piece for